So guess what? God's love never, ever sucks. It's always awesome. And it always breaks through. Listen to me. Check it. Read. God's love always, always breaks through. You know that? Never stops. Nothing can stop it. Three things I want you to always remember. Don't ever forget this. You can take this to the bank about the Lord, about God, about your relationship with Him. Is this: God will always be the same today, yesterday, say yesterday, and forever. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? If we choose to love Jesus and to know Him, He will always be with us, never forsake us, no abandon us. Right? If you choose Jesus, He will never leave you an orphan. He will never abandon you and never forsake you. Two things you can take to the bank. You know what the third one is? God's love will always break through. In every circumstance, in every situation, in your life, my life, everybody's life, the whole world, take it to the bank. He'll never change. He will always be the same. He will never leave you or forsake you if you choose Him, ever. Nothing can separate you from His love. And His love will always break through. Say, uh-huh. All right. Every situation, every problem, every hurt, every disappointment, every abusive word ever spoken to you, all of your worry, your feelings of being lost or drifting or being alone, His love will always break through. Come on now. Come on now. Somebody wave your hanky around. Woo, okay now. God's love will always break through. Every fear, every hope, every dream, every broken promise, every hurting person, every destroyed relationship, every failure, every hardened heart, every saddened soul, even the greatest of doubts and thoughts. His love is so powerful, it's unstoppable. It is without fail. It will always, always break through. That's a pretty good promise. That's a pretty good promise. Amen. Well, amen and amen. Well, now. First Corinthians 13 says this. Ready for a Bible passage? It's going to get saucy in this place. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong symbol. I really wish I could make a gigantic gong, gong, gong. Can't do it. Gong, gong, gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains or marbles, right? But have not love, I am nothing. The marbles part's not in the Bible. I just made that up. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I get nothing, have nothing, do nothing without love. Because love is what? Patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And here's the kicker, folks. Love never fails. Do you know what that means?
It is crazy.
This is crazy. Do you know what that means? Michael, do you know what it means, man? It never fails. Dude. Televe, never, ever, ever, ever. It never stops. Okay, think about a locomotive that can't be stopped. You stand in front of it, you're toast. You're squished. You put car in front of it. Done. Pushed out of the way. Doesn't matter, right? Never fails. Can't be, can't be stopped, Olivia.
It cannot be stopped. Even Mickey Noodle can't stop it, Libby. Oh, my goodness.
It can't be stopped. So just think about this. Nothing in the entire world can stop God's love. Getting through. Right? So if you're in desperation, the worst situation you can imagine in your life, what doesn't fail? Love. God's love. What will always break through that situation? God's love. Listen, life can be so hard. Life can be so hard. I've heard the worst things, the worst stories for people over there in their lives, and it breaks my heart. It's unbelievable the atrocities that happen. Think about that crazy shooter who went on this massive rampage just last week. You know what I'm talking about? You guys hear about this guy? Elliot Roger guy or whatever? Psychopathic rage, murdering people, bad, bad stuff. In the midst of every situation in your life, even in that situation, God's love cannot fail. If you are wondering what to do in the midst of your trauma, trial, everything falling apart, you're sad, you're lonely, you're depressed, you're lost, you're drifting, you don't know what to do. People don't love you. You don't know that you can even open your own life and heart up so that someone could see you who for you really are. God's love will never fail you. Ever. It will always win. I'm going to prove it to you right now. It's just like this. God's love is just like a paper tongue. Paper towel. This is not a tongue. I'm so confused. And a wet tongue. Right? God's love is like a paper towel and a wet tongue. You guys were all thinking this before I started to say it, right? Just watch. Right? Come on now. Listen. Mark, so stupid and awesome at the same time. Sometimes I love being me. Mark 4, verse 30. Jesus said this. How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use? God's love is like a wet paper towel. Okay, no, a tongue and a paper towel. He didn't say that in the Bible. He could have. How should I illustrate it? Not the way Josh does, but Jesus said this. It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. Grows long branches and birds can make its nest in a shade. Think about you're walking out on the street and walk in our parking lot. You'll find one of these. What do you find in the midst of concrete and asphalt? A weed growing through the asphalt. How is that possible? It's crazy. God's love is like that. There is, you try to pick up a piece of concrete. You try to punch your hand through a piece of concrete. Take your finger and poke it through some concrete. I want to see that. But God's love, it's like that little weed. Somehow defies all odds. It's not possible. But God's love will penetrate through every circumstance. Every single one cannot be stopped. Just like this little seed. The kingdom of God is about seeds, guys. Listen, your life is not about doing gigantic things. It's about taking one tiny little seed and sowing it into somebody's life. One little thing. You just learn to love somebody one little time. They're struggling. They're hurting. They're hard-hearted. They're being rude to you. They tear you down. They're cynical and they're mean or whatever. They make fun of you because you love Jesus or have no hair. Right, Larry? I mean, hey, it happens. Hey, Larry and I, we know what we're talking about, man. Listen, we get made fun of. Dude, I had size 14 shoes. Do you see the size of this foot? Look at that thing. When I was 11 years old, that's not fair. Dude, oh man, you can ski with those babies. Holy cow, man. Are you in the circus? I'm not in the circus, man. I just have big feet. I'll be 6'4 someday, I promise. Nope. Yeah, I know, I'm serious. No, you know, you'll be 6 foot, barely, with size 14ers. That's pretty awesome. Hey, listen, I don't fall over when I'm standing still, hardly at all. Start getting those puppies moving around. Whew, I'll trip on a painted line. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Listen, each one of us, we have times and things in our lives where we get made fun of, we get teased, we don't measure up. Our lives, people find anything they can find in our life to tear us down and to make us feel inadequate and like we're not good enough because, you know, maybe we just don't measure up in every single way. We're too tall. We're a little too short. Our feet are way too long. Our noses are bigger than what we think, or we can't grow facial hair like bearded Master Isaac. Right? People make fun of you for anything. And you know why? Because they feel lost and they're desperate and they're insecure and they need to experience the love of God. And the time when you feel like you need to push back and do something hard back, God says, no, trust me. Trust in my kingdom. Trust in my love. Sow a seed of love. And yeah, it might not do anything right now, but you got to trust that that seed of love can break through anything. Love never fails. Cannot be stopped. We don't have to do amazing things. We don't have to be perfect or have everything together. We need to learn to love other people in little itty bitty tiny ways. Right? Sowing little itty bitty seeds. I can see little bitty seeds on the wall. Right? Yeah. Little seeds of love. To encourage someone. Make them feel important. Make them feel special. Find out a way to turn off you and think about them. Turn off you and think about them. What would make this person truly experience God's love, even if it's only in a micro seed? Listen, you can't run away from the love of God. There is no way for you to escape his love. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story in Luke 15:11. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want to share my estate before you die. And so the father agreed to divide his wealth with his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed up all his belongings and moved out to a distant land. There, he wasted all his money on wild living. About the same time, his money ran out and a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him out in the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. The pig slop, piggy poopy. He wants to eat piggy poopy. That's how hungry and starving he is. Okay. When he finally came to his senses, thank God, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say to him, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, so please take me back as a hired servant rather than your son. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him and said to his son, Father, I have sinned against you. Or the son said to him, to the father, I have sinned against you, both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet, kill the fattened calf, because we're going to celebrate and have a big feast. For this, the son of mine was dead and has now returned to life, and he was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began. Yeah, it's party time. Listen, there is nothing that you can do or nothing that this son could have possibly done to run so far away from God or run his life into the ground so despondently that God's love could not change it, that God's love would ever even change about him. There's nothing you or I could ever do. We could never run so far away. Our life could never be so broken that God's love, the Father's love, would ever change about how he feels about you, about he feels about me. His love will always break through in your life and your circumstance. And the second you turn around and you decide, God, I want to run to you, that moment, the Father comes running with compassion. His love is already set on you. His heart is already set on you. It never changed. It never stopped longing and grieving about the distance in his relationship with his son and God's relationship with you. And all he wanted was for that turning of the son's face to him and say, Father, I just want to come back. Just even if I could be a servant, anything, it doesn't matter. God, I'm sorry for what I did. And I just want to turn and come to you. And God's love and compassion, he comes running. And he puts the robe of honor and the signet ring that he belongs to the family on his finger and says, you matter. You belong. You're mine. I don't care what pig slop you've been hiding in. I don't care if you've been eating piggy poop. You're mine. You belong to me. Yes, you're my son. You're my daughter. This is the heart of God for you. This is God's positioned heart for you. Not about your performance. It's not about what you do. It's not how great you position yourself or if you get yourself all cleaned up from the piggy slop. Look, God doesn't care about that. He wants you to come to him. Because in his house, in his arms, is where you are made complete. It's where you belong and matter. It is where your heart belongs. Listen, there is a God-shaped hole inside of each one of you. It's shaped just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. He's doing this right now. Shaped just like that. Your heart is shaped just like that. There's a hole in it. There's a gap in it. Just like this prodigal son, God wants you to turn back to him and run to him and say, Jesus, I need you in my heart. I know that you're God. I know that you came to break through my circumstances. You came as a man to come here to live for me. You came and died for me and you are put on the cross so that I could have life, to take my sins, all the things I did to separate myself from God. You paid the price for all of those. And you were risen from the dead. You broke through the tomb. Your love broke through the tomb so that I could have life. So I could have a love relationship with God. So I could have what God destined me for. Each one of you has a God-shaped hole, a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart. And God wants you to open that thing up. Allow Jesus to come live in that spot and bring fulfillment to you, purpose to you. He wants you to run to him so he can put that ring on your finger and say, you belong to me. I'm going to put a robe on you that makes you righteous and you're in right standing with me. Yeah. That's what he did for you. No matter what, his love is going to break through. This is a really awesome passage in Philippians chapter 3. And I want you all to really grab onto this. Listen to this right now, everybody. All the iPhoners. Everybody on iPhones. Stop it now. I will eat your iPhone. Listen to me. It'll be in my stomach. And somebody will call you and be like,
oh, no, no, no. You're not getting it. It's in my tummy. It's going to be a while till it comes back out.
Now listen to me. Okay. iPhones all way. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. So weird. Yes, everything else. I want you to think about this Jesus-shaped hole in your heart. Everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is what Paul said. Everything else is absolutely worthless compared to knowing Jesus. The value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could again gain Christ. Everything else in your life. So could you come and pound on those keys for me? I just really want you to think about this. Is everything else in your life, are you willing to count it as worthless, as nothing, to cast it all away so that you can experience that love relationship with Jesus, to allow him to fill that place in your heart, that God-shaped hole in your heart that only he can fill? Listen, what I'm asking you to do tonight is just in a few moments when we start to worship, I want to ask you if you're ready to just cast off all this junk that you've been involved in. Everything that's been a distraction in your life. Boys, girls, cell phones, Facebook, Candy Crush. I don't know what it is. What is getting in your way of passionately serving God right now? Drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is. Listen, I'm asking you today. God's asking you. He's making a plea for you. He's the Father saying, listen, will you come? Will you come and run to me? Will you run to me so I can fill that gap, that hole in your heart, that space in your heart? Are you willing, listen, to count everything else as rubbish, as garbage? Listen, there's nothing as good as turning your heart to Jesus, as giving your heart to him. There's nothing like taking your life and maybe haven't been serious about your relationship with Jesus. And it's like, you know what? I've just been drifting. I'm kind of lost. I am not being serious about my worship life, my prayer life. I'm just taking my life kind of for granted and bumping along. It's not time for that kind of life, guys. You've got a life to live. You've got people's lives to change. You've got seeds of love to sow in other people's hearts that will absolutely break through and never fail. You are world changers. You're not made for mediocrity. You're not made to be average. I don't care where you come from. It doesn't matter where you come from. I came from Nikiski with nothing. Barely could read. God got a hold of my heart, changed everything. And all I've tried to do is sow seeds of love from that day to this. Listen, you can too. Can take your life. It'll flip it around. And where there was gap and loneliness and hurt and loss, it'll be full of love, peace, joy in Christ. Run to him. Run to him. Let's everybody close your eyes just for a moment. And I want you to get serious. Take a second. Get serious. I'm watching all y'all. Close your eyes now. And be serious for a second. I want you to think about your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't have one yet. I want you to think about God. Did you really make me for this? And maybe you feel it in your heart. You can sense in your heart, God, you made me for more. You made me for more. If that's you, and you know God's made you for more, I'm just asking you to lift your hand up right now, and I want to pray for you. Anybody here? God, you made me for more. I want more of you. Go ahead, just lift your hand up. Amen. Be brave, be bold. Count it all else as rubbish. I don't care what people think about me. I count that as rubbish. I want more of you. Jesus, I want to know you. I count it as rubbish, God. It's nothing compared to knowing you. God, I need to get serious. Some of you need to get serious about your relationship with Jesus. You haven't done that. Anybody here? God, I need to get serious in my relationship with Jesus. Go ahead and lift your hand up. It's time to get serious. Yeah. Yeah. Bible says to make the most of every opportunity. Man, this is a great opportunity. Let's make the most of it. Well, let's pray. Everybody, you can put your hands down. And right where you're at right now, no elbows poking, nobody paying attention to anybody else, I want you to pray. And you pray with me. Jesus, come on, out loud, with your heart, with your mouth, with your life. Look, the Bible just says, confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. That's it. It's that simple. You want to know him? You say, Jesus. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I need you. God, I'm tired of messing around. Come fill my heart with your love. Sow seeds of love in my heart right now. Jesus, I need you. Come on, just say it. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, there's none like you. God, I love you. God, I need you. I turn my heart back to you. Forgive me for playing in the piggy slop. God, I turn my heart back to your love, back to your life. I run back to you. I need you, God. I'm tired of messing around. Come on, if you're tired of messing around, say, God, I'm tired of messing around. I need more of you. I need you, Jesus. Fill my heart with your love, with your life. Get me straight. Get my mind straight. Help me to see those opportunities of love that you have for me. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment. Just you and Jesus. Tell him what's on your heart right now. It's none like you, God. You are my King. I love you today. Oh, I'm so proud to be your son, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You're so good. You're so good today. I love you today, Lord. There's none like you, God. There's none like you. Anybody here give your heart to Jesus for the first time? Anybody here? I give my heart to Jesus for the first time. Anybody? Bueller? All right. How many of y'all, you're going to get serious about the Lord? You said, like, I got a mission, all right? And I'm going to do this. And I'm not going to waste my time. Listen, when you come to church every Thursday night, you're not average. Don't behave like you're average. You're not. And I don't care if you're average at jumping up and down, playing music, kicking a ball, or hitting a ball, or throwing a thing. I don't care if you're average at what the world says you're average at. You're not average in the kingdom. It's not possible. God lives in you. That's crazy. Right? Is God average? No. And when you choose Jesus and he lives in you, you do not live an average life. You choose mediocrity. Don't choose it. Choose what's in you. Excellence. The power of God's love transforming everything around you. Listen, I want to encourage you, church. You are not just kids. You are adults. Young adults. Called to a great destiny. Live like it now. Don't waste these opportunities. Man, come in here when you come to worship and be passionate. It doesn't matter what the worship team is doing. Come in with your whole heart, fully engaged, man. Take your phones, leave them at home. Leave them in your pockets. Turn them off. Don't look at them. Don't waste the moment to engage with Christ right now. But don't be average. Be exceptional. Be what's in you. Right? It's not about measuring up. It's not about doing a whole bunch of things right. It's about getting what God wants to give you. Look, we're heading out to summer camp. We're going to go out there and we're going to have a ridiculous blast. It's going to be stupid fun. Right? It's going to be amazing. You're going to make memories you'll never forget. And also, you have an opportunity to build from this day to that day a climate, a temperature, an atmosphere of spirituality, an atmosphere of cultivating God's presence where more things are going to happen at camp if you start now. You're going to see more miracles at camp if you start now. More people's lives will be transformed if you start now. Don't wait to camp to get serious. And don't stop being serious about God when you get back from camp.
That's dead stupid.
It is stupid. It's a waste. It's stupid to waste your own life, isn't it? You're not a waste. Gosh, I look around this room and every time I come to the youth ministry, I think, this is the most amazing, powerful force God has got going on right here. You defy all odds. When you allow Christ to live through you, you defy all odds. It's ridiculous. You can do the same things I can do. And you're young. You know, when I do some things, they go, well, he's old. He should be able to do that. No, I shouldn't be able to do that either. And when you're young and you lay hands on someone, you see them get healed, physically healed. Watch their cancer go away. Watch their brain tumors go away. Watch disabilities go away. Right? You see them get, that's going to change your life. That's going to change the lives around people. Pray for people to get healed all the time. Share God's love with people and encourage them. You'll watch God transform their whole life. So the most amazing thing to ever see is a person who's never experienced real love, experience genuine love from the Father. That fills my heart with the most amazing amount of joy. You can see the same thing every day. And begin to live in the miracles of God. Right now, today. Do not waste it. Go to school tomorrow. You're not even going to school. Praise God. Go in your families. Go find some kid in the neighborhood. Pray for them. Encourage them. Sow a seed of love. Even if they're hard back to you, love them back. Don't suck. Be awesome. Don't suck. Be awesome. Come on. Live what's in you. Do it. Don't waste it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm asking for your love to pour out on your people. Your love that never fails. Your love that always breaks through. I'm praying right now it will fill these young people. God, it will absolutely overwhelm them, Father God, with your love, with your peace, God, with knowing that, Father, they belong to you and they matter. Just wrap them up in your arms, and I pray that you inspire them, God, to live to greatness, to come into worship times and passionately pursue you. God, to come into times as they go to witness and share your love and make disciples, God, that you will fill them up with boldness and courage, and they'll look for opportunities to build other people up, to walk in obedience to their moms and dads and bring honor to their families by the way they live, by the choices they make. Cause them to make wise choices in Jesus' name. And we love you today. Love you today, God. Amen. Everybody stand on your feet. Stand to your feet. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Look him in the face. And tell him, you don't suck. You're awesome. Live like it. Come on now. Now turn to your other neighbor. I want you to give him a high five. And say, you're beautiful. You rock. There's nobody like you. Come on, look at him and say, there's nobody like you. If you're a dude, tell him they're handsome. That's kind of weird to tell them they're beautiful. All right, now everybody look at me. Don't go anywhere. Look at me, look at me.
Look at me now. Right here, this one. Okay?
Now listen. I love you. You know this? I, with all my heart, love you and believe in you. There is nobody like you. Live like it. Take your weird, unique, awesome self and be awesome. Go do it. Share the uniqueness about you, the thing people tear you down for. You embrace that because God made you that way, and you live out from that place with love because that's what makes you great. You hear me? And I don't care if anybody else doesn't think you're awesome. I think you're awesome. You know what I'm saying? Do you hear me? You are amazing. And there's nothing that can stop the love that's in you. Nothing. So use it. Share it. Man, I want you to go home to your parents and go like serve and work and be obedient. Like, oh, yes, mom, yes, dad, and all that stuff. And like love them so that they can just love their brains out. It's so gross. Their brains is like, I can't take it anymore. I'm getting out of here. So weird. Who thinks of stuff like that? I'm serious. Get simple about it. Get practical about it. Clean your room. This kind of stuff makes your parents feel loved. Do the dishes. Encourage your younger siblings. They're like, okay, now, Pastor, that was a good message all the way up to that part right there. Now, I just don't think we can do this. Okay, now think about how much this would freak out your younger brothers and sisters if you were just loving and nice to them and kind to them. What if you went in and you cleaned their rooms? Or you clean your older siblings' room? Or you, like, wash the windows or wash your parents' car? Or, like, went to the neighbor's yard and mowed it for them? For nothing. Just because you love them. What would that be like? What would that change? And you just tell them you love them. Come on now. You got to learn to love. You got to be practical. It's not big things. It's small things. The kingdom's about small stuff. All right, church? Now turn to somebody and shake their hand. I want you to shake their hand, look in their eyes. Say, I am going to love in little ways that are big. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.